Support for NPR comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where treatment options include targeted therapies guided by genomic testing and immunotherapies that use the body's immune system to help fight the cancer. More at cancercenter.com.
Hey, you can take Car Talk and less lousy programs with you with the NPR One app. NPR One finds you the best from public radio and beyond. Election essentials, local stories, and your favorite podcasts. NPR One is ready to make driving, working, or cleaning the house better. Find NPR One on your app store. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Continued Daylight Savings here at Car Talk Plaza.
Now, indeed.
As you probably know, we have now been saving daylight ever since like early April. Where have we been putting all this extra daylight? I don't know, maybe in those huge tanks next to the emergency oil reserves that we have.
Yeah, there are daylight tanks all over the country. Don't you see them?
Yeah, well, and even though reserves of daylight are very low, in a matter of days, based on instructions from some unnamed genius, we will all set our clocks back 1 hour and we'll immediately plunge ourselves into a deep national depression as we watch it get pitch black outside before we even leave work for the day. Now, in my brother's case, it's pitch black before he leaves for work. But
then it's still going to be light when I leave work for the day.
I think.
Because I'm afraid to drive in the dark, and that's why I leave so early in the winter. How's that?
Right. Yeah.
I never thought of that before.
Well, I think it's time to call for a boycott.
And I'm with you.
Just don't do it. Just refuse. Just say no. We have what, like 2.5 million listeners every week?
Six and a half million? No,
2.6? Oh, six listeners.
Six listeners.
Oh, then it might not work. But anyway, each of them is responsible for, say, what? Maybe five clocks. A watch, a bedside clock, kitchen clock in the car, maybe a clock at work. If everyone listening today just refused to set back his clock, okay, and maybe sets one other unsuspecting person's clock ahead, we could create mass confusion and we could beat this thing.
I mean, this is the sort of thing, I don't want to brag or anything, but this is the sort of thing that the other presidential candidates just aren't addressing.
This is going to get us elected.
I mean, this is one
this
of the
one
issues.
Issue.
Just to point out that we think of stuff like this. The other jerks, they're thinking about the Federal Reserve Bank. Who cares about that? That stuff doesn't matter. Turning the clock the wrong way, that matters. That affects our lives every day. And a vote for us is a vote
for chaos.
Stay light.
All right, already. All right.
Gee, I got carried away with all the debate stuff.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor, Michigan, so it must be Kathy with a K.
Hey, you are one smart guy.
Well, you notice I've never been wrong on the Kathy thing.
Oh, come on.
I have never been wrong on the Kathy thing because I know the rule.
Louie, we need...
You find any call, the tapes.
Louie has all the tapes. Louie Cronin has all the tapes, and I guarantee you, by this time next week... We will have at least 10 examples where you say, that Kathy, no, I'm sorry.
No.
That Kathy, no, I'm sorry. You'll see.
Anyway, I've never been wrong on the Kathy one.
Kathy with a K from Ann Arbor, what can we do for you?
I have a light plum that's very important, Saturn.
Light plum.
And it has about 86,000 miles on it now. And it has this thing that after I drive it for a little bit of time, probably about 10 minutes at a high speed, if I have to go into reverse, my car will do this very nice, we'll wait for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then it will go, ka-clunk, and then I'll be in reverse, and
it's an automatic transmission type. Used to be.
And about 2 months ago, I had to have the head gasket replaced because there was oil in it. There was a crack in something, and Saturn did a recall.
Oh, oil was getting into your coolant.
Yes, right. And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's a very... delicate
cut. Would you like it to have something to do with it?
Okay. If that means you don't have to pay for it.
That's going
to
be harder for us because it doesn't have anything to do with it. But we'll work on it.
How many miles are on it again?
86.
86K.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're really lucky,
no.
And it sounds like you're a nice person and deserving of some good fortune.
Because I'm a student with lots of loans, yes.
Oh,
you're done for.
You are done for.
Well, if you're really lucky, you're just low on transmission fluid.
Oh, I like that.
Have you ever checked it?
Never
mind.
No.
You don't have to answer if you have to hesitate that long and say, let's see, what is a transmission?
Where is the transmission? I just got my first set of new tires at 86,000 miles because I didn't know any better. So,
well, I would take it into your repair shop, and you must have one of those.
Okay.
Better still, go to a gas station.
Okay.
And ask that person at the gas station to check the transmission fluid for you.
Yeah. Okay.
That person will pull out the dipstick, check the fluid, and if you're lucky, it's down a quart or so.
Okay.
That would be just great.
And if that's the case, filling it up will probably fix this problem.
I like that.
That doesn't mean that the problem is solved entirely, because you're not supposed to lose fluid. You don't burn up transmission fluid like you do engine oil.
Oh.
If you're losing any, it means you have a leak.
Oh.
And so then you have, once you've rectified the existing, you know, the
symptom.
The symptom. There you go.
That's it.
Then you can go ahead and address the real issue, which is where is it leaking from?
So that's something I should ask for Christmas.
Right. But if in fact the transmission fluid doesn't fix it,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably in for a rebuild.
That's not pretty.
Well, you might be eligible for a federal SLTR, which is a student loan for transmission rebuild. So you should investigate
that. There's a website for that, yeah.
Yeah, there is a
fill
website.
Out the form.
See you, Kath.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
With a K.
Of course. My brother's never wrong about that. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Andras. I'm from Suwanee, Tennessee.
Andras.
Hello there.
Wait a minute, hold it. Andras.
Yeah, Andras, like when you take out the trash.
O-N-D-R-A-S?
A-N-D-R-A-S.
Andras. A-N. Yeah.
By the way.
Where are you from?
I live in Suwanee, but I'm born in Hungary.
You must be a college professor.
No. I'm just a chef. Cooking for all the School of Theology students and professors.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so,
is there a college in Suwanee, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, the University of the South. Also the School of Theology.
Oh.
Episcopal ministers.
Oh, so you are providing food. The professors provide food for thought, and you provide food for eating.
Yes, they provide spiritual nourishment. And
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Nourishing my little sheep. Yeah.
Okay. So what's up?
Well, there's a situation. I have a 1992 F-150 four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Got it.
And I had a couple months ago, I had a little problem. As I coming up on this beautiful mountain, I lost oil pressure. Of course, I had about 30 bags of this concrete in the back there, you know, this quickcrete mix.
Oh, you're making pancakes the next morning, right?
on my little side job in there.
Yeah.
So the oil pressure just suddenly dropped down, and next morning when I started up, it started click, 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 clicking.
Oh,
I said,
oh
my God, my valves maybe got it. So I take him to the repair shop, and they said, yes, we have to fix your valves. Also, well, we have to replace your camshaft bearings and your oil pump as well. So getting to this big expense, talking about $1,200. The thing is, it's very quiet and very beautifully running now, but every time when I heat up the engine and the oil gets hot, and soon if I take my foot up the gas pedal, I'm just rolling into the intersection to the complete stop. Of course, the RPM drops down to 700-800.
Yeah.
And the oil pressure is just goes down also.
All the way to zero?
Yes.
Well, see when they said Muhammad, they replaced the camshaft bearings.
Yes.
They replaced the lifters.
The lifters in the
Of course they replaced the oil pump.
But they did not replace the main bearings, is that correct?
Did they at least take the main bearings out and measure everything?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't, but they charge me
They charge you $1,200 to do this work?
$1,200 for the camshaft. You know, that sounds about right.
Well, unfortunately I think a lot of the work they did, especially the replacement of the camshaft bearings,
you're not gonna like this,
is for naught. You're going to have to do the work over again, and this time you're going to have to replace the main and connecting rod bearings, too, because you have a situation where you starve the engine of oil more than once now, and whenever you do that, you ruin the bearings.
If the bearings don't get oil, then...
Andres, you there?
Yeah, I mean, and when they had the oil pan off, it would have been so easy to look at the main bearings and the connecting rod bearings, and they seems like they didn't do it. And
if
that's why...
If they had pulled off those caps, they would have seen that those bearings were all chewed up.
And it's not holding pressure, because when the oil pump pumps, but if the bearings are not tight, it won't hold the pressure, which is exactly what's happening.
Right.
But it will get worse. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
It will get worse because...
I can't wait for that day.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that in my convoluted logic is that you could go back and tell these guys to do what they have to do. On the other hand, you could wait until it got worse.
No, I would go back right away because...
They're not going to do anything.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to rebuild the entire engine, which is what you should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, bummer.
I'm going to have to sell the truck.
Oh, man.
Well, good luck.
I'm sorry we didn't have better news for you, Andres.
Well, thank you. It's pretty good. It's a direct steering into direction. Get a brand new truck.
Good luck, Andres.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Phoenix.
From Phoenix, and that's with a K, absolutely.
Are you sure about
yes,
that?
Yes, I am.
So what does it end with?
An I.
Wrong, Ola.
On both counts?
Wait, you tricked me on that one. It's Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y.
I-E.
That's it, finally.
Sure, it's a basic Kathy from Phoenix. I've never been wrong on the Kathy front here. Never.
We'll see. We may have a special edition of Something Chumps. Anyway, Kathy from Phoenix, what's up?
All right, this is the problem. I've got a Caravan that's still under warranty.
Good.
Which is the only reason I ever went to the dealership.
Yeah.
Because as soon as that 36,000th mile changes,
your history.
I'll be gone.
Yeah.
However, I went because I had my brake light coming on the dash.
Yeah.
And so I brought it home. I told my husband. He opens up the hood. Well, all the brake fluid is drained down. I mean, it's drained down. You know, the whole reservoir part is not full anymore. And, of course, there's probably more underneath, but you can't see that.
Mm.
So he fills it up. The brake light goes off. And he comments to me, you know, these brakes have always been spongy. Now, this is news to me. I've been driving all over town. I hadn't noticed. But, you know, guys have a better feel for this, I guess.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get into that either.
Yeah, well. So I take it to the dealership, and what a big surprise. They can't find anything wrong with it. The brakes are feeling fine. There's no problem with the brake fluid, but of course, being low. But, of course, they do have something that I can pay for as an out-of-pocket expense, which is a brake flush because they say my brake fluid is thick and dark.
Well, no. Sounds like a scam to me.
All right. Now, I'm so glad to hear that because I said, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You mean to tell
me? Those
are
the words. Wait a minute.
Wait just a darn minute. Do you mean to tell me I've got a brand new car, practically speaking, here? Isn't a brake system supposed to be a closed system? If I'm losing significant enough fluid that it comes up as my whole reservoir empty, aren't I in danger of having brake failure? And this guy, my service representative, tells me, oh, no, not at all, because you've got 50% wear on your brakes. So that means the calipers have to stretch out further to hit your brake wall, and the fluid goes down to fill that up, and that's why it's low.
And he's right about that.
Get out of here!
Lighten up, will you, Kathy?
Kathy!
Well, the fact that it is a closed system, and it is, means, when you step on the brake, what happens is the pressure is transmitted by the fluid to the calipers and all that stuff. And as the brakes wear out, as they are supposed to do, they wear out. What does that mean? Something disappears. Pieces of it disappear.
Yeah, but is my brake like 4 inches thick? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't take very much.
No, the brake lining is 3/8 of an inch thick.
Right,
and it doesn't take very much. If you're down 50%, that means, don't forget, you got two brake pads on the right front wheel, you got two brake pads on the left front wheel, you got two in the back and two in the back. All of those being worn out by 1/2 of 3/8, which is probably 4/8, or 1 1/2 8, means that all of that space had to be filled up with brake fluid. And so it's very possible that the reservoir looked like it was almost empty. That's a lot of brake fluid.
And then what happened when you filled it up, what you did was you filled up the fluid that was now in the system.
Correct.
If you now go ahead and put new pads in, you will push that fluid back up through the brake lines and
splash it all over the inside of your engine.
And the master cylinder reservoir will overflow.
Okay, so why was my brake fluid sluggish then?
Well, I think they were making that
up. Or brackish.
Well, because he knew that all you really needed to do was to fill up the reservoir.
But, well, which I had already done.
Which you had already done. So he couldn't charge you for that because what? You did it.
Correct.
So he had to find something to charge you for.
But
what?
Okay, here's my second question.
Getting rid of her is going to be tough. Right now.
See, the problem is that, I mean, a lot of dealerships will tell you, don't replace the brake fluid when it looks low, because when we get around to replacing the brake pads, we're going to make a horrible mess because it's going to overflow the reservoir.
Well, plus you defeat the inherent warning system built into the reservoir float mechanism, which is designed to tell you, as it reads the drop in brake fluid level, that in fact your brakes are worn out. So when you saw the light come on, if you weren't so suspicious of the dealership's motives, you would have just taken the thing in and asked them to check your brakes. At which point they would have said, oh, Kathy, it's time for new brakes. And you would have said, really, after 34,000 miles? And they would have said, well, they do wear out pretty quickly on these new vehicles. And
well,
you would
actually
have said, oh, okay, if it's not more than 800, go ahead and do it. And no. That's what a good customer would have done.
You know, no one suggested that. Not one single person.
They didn't.
No, they were afraid of you.
As are we.
But you should obviously keep an eye on the fluid level. And if it does seem to drop at a rate that is ever increasing, then you do have a leak. But I would be surprised if you had a leak.
And you also do have wear indicators on the brake pads. And they will sort of tell you when they're ready to get replaced.
Okay.
Good luck, Kathy. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we're very happy that you live in Phoenix and you're not our customer.
That could change any day.
Hey, thanks for calling.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, my brother's donut gauge only says a quarter full.
We'll be back in a minute.
9 out of 10 listeners say they'd rather listen to an hour of fingernails on a chalkboard whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Tire Rack. Now, if you're like me and you own a car, you've probably done something dumb to it, like the time I ran out of oil and used a quart of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil as a substitute. Well, Tire Rack makes it easy to be smart when it comes to your tires. At TireRack.com, you can look up the correct tires for your car and pick the best ones based on ratings and reviews. Plus, your new tires can be delivered in as little as one business day to a recommended local installer. So even if you forget to release the parking brake or send your brother's 65 AMC Ambassador to the crusher, you can still redeem yourself by getting the right tires. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install, smarter. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And here is the answer to last week's puzzler.
What was the question?
I'm glad you asked.
It had to do with me.
Here you go.
I called you.
Here you go.
I needed to get towed.
Right.
Because my car broke down.
Right. And here it is. Many, many years ago,
I'm
received...
so smart to remember.
...a late-night phone
and
call.
And I'm proud of myself.
I received this late-night phone call from my brother. And I know it's one of two things. Either his wife threw him out and he needs a place to sleep, or his car is broken down.
Or both.
It's his car. He says, I need help. Do you have a rope to tow with? I say, yeah, sure, I'll be right there. So I watch Ted Koppel, Tonight Show.
That's because you didn't ask me where I was. I had to call you three times.
I take a shower.
I'll be right there, he says, and he hangs up. I say, wait a minute, you don't know where I am.
I make a sandwich. And then finally, after the third phone call, I decide to head out and give him a hand. Anyway, I arrive with my car, tow rope in hand. He's asleep in the car, of course, snuggled up with one of his favorite raccoons. And he tells me what's wrong with his car, and I say, I can't tow you, you knucklehead. And he says, we only have a few blocks to go. I'll tow you. I say, huh? But he's right. What's wrong with his car? Don't forget, he's the one that broke down. And he's going to tow me back?
Yeah.
How could this be?
How could this be?
Well, what's wrong with his car? And the reason I can't
good,
tow him
this
with the
is so
rope.
So good.
It is so good.
It is.
And
is.
I know I used it before. I never would have let a good one like this.
You
slip
never
through.
Used this before.
Dougie,
never.
Dougie says no.
Absolutely not. You know my memory.
There are two people in the universe on whom we can rely. One is Dad.
Yeah.
And the other is Murray Priceler.
Exactly right. Call them up. Find
right?
out. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Murray may have it on tape. And I know Dad does because he's what? He's keeping 3M in business. Anyway, the reason he can tow me and I can't tow him is that his brakes have failed. And because I have a rope, if I tow him, when I stop, he's going to slam into me. But if rather he tows me, when he needs to stop, he can signal me. And by my stepping on the brakes,
you stop me.
I will stop him as well. Pretty cute, huh?
That is very... That's very good.
And our winner
that qualifies as a superb puzzler.
I wouldn't get carried
because
away.
The answer is so obvious as soon as you hear it.
That you say, Mamma mia!
Mamma, porca miseria! Do we have a winner?
Yes. Who is our winner?
Oh, here it is. Ooh, another name I can't pronounce. Marion Freywald from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And for having her correct answer chosen at random from among both of the right answers that we got this week, Marion is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that gift certificate, she can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs collection or the collection of classics called The Hatchback of Notre Dame.
Which I strongly recommend.
I do. But whichever you choose, hurry up because we have a boat payment due in about a week.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new historic and folkloric and whatever puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. So stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Well, hi, guys. My name is Larry Mudd. I live in New Jersey, and I minister in Manhattan.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You minister in Manhattan?
Yes, I work for a church here.
Okay. Uh-huh. So what's going on?
Well, I'm hoping that you can resolve yet another spousal dispute. My wife and I...
Wait a minute. You want us?
We usually start the spousal disputes.
Well,
people usually come to you with this kind of stuff?
Well, this is an area where my expertise is not needed and yours is.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll do our best.
Well, our family recently expanded. We've had our second child, and my wife and I are looking into buying a minivan. Mm-hmm. We need to buy a used one because we don't make much money, and I'd like to buy from a reputable, I guess, a rental car company because the prices seem fair, and I think the company's kept good care of the car. They keep everything in good repair. Mm-hmm. My wife thinks it's a bad idea because of what her old boyfriend used to do with his rental cars when he was on the road. So,
What did he used to do?
Well,
what my brother used to do.
Never mind.
Well, what she said he used to do, whether it was dry or wet, he'd pick the biggest empty parking lot and do donuts and something about popping the emergency brake and just trying to mistreat it as much as possible.
Well, we have... I have to tell the story.
No, you can't tell the story.
I have to tell the story.
The statute of limitations hasn't run out yet.
My brother and his dear friend and my dear friend, Tony... It was actually Tony, I think, who worked for the company, right? Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything.
He doesn't remember anything. No. That's the best way. Well, we live in Boston, and obviously a lot of people would rent a car at the airport and drive someplace and not return it to the airport. So the rental company had to have the cars returned whenever someone didn't return it to the airport himself. And in order to get to the airport here in Boston, you have to go through a tunnel because the airport's underwater.
Yeah, so, kind of.
So you went through a tunnel. Well, Tony decides that he's driving all these cars all the time, and he notices a very interesting thing. When he's driving through the tunnel, if he shuts off the engine and turns it back on again, he gets the most powerful backfire you could ever imagine. And it reverberates, of course, because he's in this big tunnel.
Right.
So he got my brother to help him. And they were driving these cars back through the tunnel. And I'm sure that the next person who drove the car the exhaust system fell out.
Oh, no, no, not the next person.
right there.
Yeah, that was the old days when cars had carburetors and, you know, way before electronic ignition and distributors. And, boy, if you turned that ignition off for a few seconds and turned the key back on, you would get an explosion that, in some case, we learned not to do it on American Motors cars. It blew the muffler off every time. Anyway, so but there are people, I guess, Larry, the reason my brother's telling you this story and exposing me, who mistreat rental cars that way. However, I think you're on the right track because the vast majority of people who rent a car for a day or two, especially a minivan, aren't doing donuts.
Right.
They're not trying to blow the mufflers off.
Yeah, and they're not as clever as Tony was.
and so, you know, so I think you're perfectly okay to be thinking about buying it from a place that rents cars as opposed to, and I've always been opposed to cars that are leased. I think that people who lease cars do so because they don't want to be bothered with any of the normal things associated with car ownership,
like
oil changes and the like.
Yeah.
You know, so I would be...
Where does your wife want to buy the car?
Well, she'd like to just go to a large used car lot and deal with them there.
Well, so it's entirely possible if you do that, you're going to get a car that has either been traded in by somebody who had leased it or traded in by somebody who had the same kind of...
Mentality
about not maintaining the car. I'll keep it for 2 or 3 years, and then I'll just trade it in and get another one before I have a chance to wreck it.
We strongly believe that the rental car companies are a good place to buy a car.
And if they do nothing else, they are driven by a whole bunch of different people, so the chances of getting a string of one driver after another that's wrecking the thing is pretty small.
Right.
And they do, at the very least, change the oil often, which is all that's really required.
Yeah,
you know, of a new vehicle, and that's the most you could ask for. And I think that's better than you're getting with the average person who leases a car.
Right.
And that may be the reason, I think, that a lot of companies now, a lot of manufacturers, are paying for the maintenance, too, because they know that people don't take the cars in to have them serviced.
Sure.
They figure if we do it for free, I think they have to go the next step.
Which is?
Come to your house and get the car.
All right.
Because the people who don't want to do it just don't want to do it, period. They're too busy to be inconvenienced, especially for a car that they don't own.
But you can tell your wife that we're very much on your side of this.
Right.
And your plan has our blessing, Larry.
Oh, well,
and if anything goes wrong with the car that you buy, you get it to us. We'll fix it for nothing.
See,
great.
That's our new warranty. See you later.
Super. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Alexandra from Des Moines, Iowa.
Aren't you precise?
Alexandra. Do they call you Alex?
My friends do, yes.
May we call you Alex?
You may.
Okay,
we're not
checking.
Our friends.
Well, yeah, you're about to be.
Okay.
I drive a 1990 Honda Civic hatchback, and I have this intermittent but extremely annoying problem of the fact that the car will turn over, but it won't catch.
So you get into the car.
Right.
And you turn the key, and it goes wah, 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 but it doesn't start.
Exactly. But this is an intermittent problem. And we've done, with the help of my boyfriend, Dennis, I've done a little work. We have replaced the fuel filter. We know that the battery's okay. The battery connections are clean and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not the starter motor, and it's not any of the starter wires.
We know that, too.
Yeah, or the sunroof.
Or the radiator cap. We know all that.
Okay.
Does it happen? When it does what it does, which you say doesn't happen all the time.
Correct.
Is it weather-related?
Well, I actually thought so. I was in Virginia. It started this summer, and I was in Virginia this summer where, you know, it's extremely hot and humid.
Yeah, that's where it happens.
And it started in July.
Wait. You mean the problem started in July, not the car?
The car's been starting wonderfully for 11 years. Yes, the problem
started in
July. And I thought that maybe I just picked the wrong place to park because the 2 days that it first happened, I parked in exactly the same spot.
In the sun.
Exactly, in the sun. It was 98 degrees.
There you go.
Humidity was high.
Yes, you needn't say another word, my child.
Okay.
Baba Ganoush is here to help
okay.
you.
Okay.
Baba Ganoush.
What's wrong with your Civic? And I suspect now that the fall weather is upon us that it's probably starting with a little more reliability, although maybe not.
Actually not. The other day I went out there and I couldn't get it started.
Okay, it's only because the part that's bad has gotten really bad. You need to replace the fuel pump relay. It's located under the dashboard.
Fuel pump relay.
Yeah, and what happens, and we've replaced dozens of these in Hondas, is in the hot weather, and especially if the car is parked in the sun, the relay doesn't close. And if it doesn't close, the fuel pump doesn't get electricity and the car won't start.
Oh.
So you turn the key and it does gas. It does everything else, and it's getting spark, it's turning over, but it's not getting a supply of fuel. And then if you open the windows and let it cool off, or if it's a cloudy day, you'll turn the key and boom, it'll fire right up.
Wow.
So in its initial stages, it's very weather related. As it gets worse and worse, it can just be every day, and then eventually the car. So you need to go to the Honda dealer, if you're so inclined, and buy a new fuel pump relay.
And the good part about all of this is that it's cheap, and it's easy to get to.
Yeah, it's under, with the new part in your hand, you'll stick your head up under the dashboard with a flashlight in one hand.
And you say, where's the thing that looks like this?
And when you find, and the best part is, it'll have numbers on it that match the numbers of the original one.
Okay.
So you'll say, aha, that's it. And it'll be obvious. The plug will be the same and whatever.
Okay.
And if you replace that, your problem will be fixed.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is this also why my horn doesn't work?
Of course. Of course
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. And that pimple you got on your neck, it's that too.
You're pressing your luck. See you, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Tim. I'm calling from Roanoke in Virginia.
Hi, Tim.
Roanoke.
Yeah.
I've
been to Roanoke.
Who cares? I mean, what do we care if you've been to Roanoke? We don't care. So you've been to Roanoke. So has Tim.
I got lost in Roanoke.
He didn't say, I'm in Roanoke and you're not.
Well, he implied it.
What's up, Tim?
Well, I have a problem with a 1966 Plymouth Fury.
Really?
Yes.
It's possibly a problem you've come across before.
Probably.
It's mayonnaise on my dipstick.
Really?
Oh.
Well, I know exactly what the problem is.
The mayonnaise dipstick syndrome, MDS.
No, I think the mayonnaise on your dipstick is really nothing to be concerned about.
Really?
Right. My guess is that it doesn't really get driven on the highway very much, and it's mostly been relegated to around town use.
That's exactly right.
And the mayonnaise is a consequence of the combustion process. When you combust gasoline, one of the products of combustion is water.
Agua, as we call it here.
Right.
In La La Land.
And because the water, most of which comes out the tailpipe, some of it can blow past the rings and wind up in with the oil in the crankcase.
And when
when
you take water and oil and you froth it up, like in a blender, which is what's happening down there, what do you get? You get the chocolate frap.
No, you get mayonnaise.
All mayonnaise.
So
Hellman's, I think.
So not a blown head gasket, not hundreds of dollars of service.
Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, if you make sure that your PCV system is working and you change your oil.
PCB system?
PCB, yeah. No, PCV.
Positive crankcase ventilation. It's a little valve.
Right. Okay. It's the only emissions device on this car
whatsoever.
I mean, of course, I didn't want to lecture you on the fact that you are poisoning the entire environment.
Leave the guy alone.
By driving this whole heat.
Think about
a great service to your fellow citizens in Roanoke, to which I will never return because you live there driving this heat. You could do a great service to them by junking this and buying yourself a nice Hyundai.
Think about all the Earth's resources that are being saved by the fact that Tim is not buying a new car.
They've already made the Hyundai with his name on it.
Think about all the noggers that would have to die to make new seats for a new car. Think about all the iron that will have to come out of the ground and deplete the magma.
I take it back.
No one ever thinks about the magma.
Keep driving it, Tim. Change your oil a little more often.
Okay.
Like once a year.
At least.
See you later.
Thank you.
Now, before we get to the new puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, because I can see from the steam coming out of your brain that it's starting to overheat up there.
We'll be back in a minute.
She'll know at the wash and go I'm gone. And I'll be such a hard part replacing She'll drive around searching street by street. I'm waiting out here in the heat, 'cause I'm her hubcap. I'm leaning on a fence post. I went rolling, rolling, rolling. She kept going. So if you see an old Malibu, cobalt blue, Elvis on the dash and beads on the rear view, tell her you've seen me. I'm her hubcap.
And even though Tibetan monks hope we're gone by their next lives whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, since you're listening to Car Talk, you obviously don't have very sophisticated taste in podcasts, but you can change that. NPR has a new podcast about podcasts. It's called The Big Listen, and it tells you about podcasts that might be worth your time. That'd be nice for a change, right? Check out NPR's newest podcast, The Big Listen, on the NPR One app at npr.org/podcasts. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And
I think the new historic folkloric.
Yes, it's historic, it's folkloric, it's automotic. hopefully not idiotic or pathetic.
Okay, go.
Anyway, this was sent in by Laura Adamson. This took place, this is a little story she's going to tell us. It took place in the early 70s during the first gas crunch, when there were long lines at gas stations and Toyota started looking really good to people who owned Detroit gas guzzlers.
Yes.
And she says, my friend Marianne lived in a rural neighborhood in upstate New York, and someone was sneaking around late at night in the inky shadows, siphoning gasoline while the honest people were asleep. Yeah, well, anyway, Marianne and the sheriff got together and hatched a plan to catch the thief, and it involved using Marianne's car and its full tank of gasoline as the bait. And unlike lots of her neighbors, she did not yet own a locking gas cap, so her thing was very siphonable. And the idea was not to catch him with a secret alarm or by, you know, hidden cameras or wrapping the car in fly paper or anything like that, but just by allowing him to steal the gas and take it home for use in his own car. The thief did strike and siphon her gas, and it was the end of the gas thefts. The question is, of course, what trap did they lay, and what was it about Marianne's car that made it easy to figure out who the gas thief was? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
or Fair City,
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Tonya, and I'm calling from Tucson.
Tonya from Tucson.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Is Tonya a nickname for Antonia?
No, it's just as it is.
Tonya.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tonya.
Yeah, my parents are good, huh?
Yeah, they're good, yeah.
Why'd you say unfortunately? You don't like Tucson?
No.
No.
I can't figure out why anyone would live here.
Why do you?
I'm in school.
What do you? Maybe you hate school and you don't hate Tucson.
One would think by now I'm working on a PhD, for God's sakes.
You are. In what?
Yeah.
It's called Arid Land Studies.
Arid Land Studies.
It's a new one on me.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the right part of the world, and I got news for you. If you're to pursue this, you ain't going to Honolulu. To do it.
Yeah,
talk about
putting yourself in a box, Tonya. What are you thinking? If you don't like Tucson, how are you going to like the Gobi Desert?
So what is the most, I would say, profound thing you have learned that you might share with us?
Analysis of variance.
besides that.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, Tucson's really gotten to you, huh? All right. Anyway, What's the matter with your car? Maybe we can work on that.
Okay. Well, it's not my car. It's my neighbor. And I have a disagreement with him over his choice of chemicals that he uses when he's working on his car.
Ah.
The methods that he uses to clean his car parts.
Okay. Oh. Where do you live, first of all, so we can get a visual imagery here going?
Okay. Well, we have carports that are next door to each other.
All right. So there you are. I'm with you now. Okay.
Okay. So he works on either his Chevy or the Datsun or the Bronco. Last time he was cleaning out the axle of his car with kerosene in an airbrush kind of thing, an air gun. And so I came home and my whole house was filled with kerosene, the smell.
Oh, so he has like a compressor?
Yeah, exactly. He gets out the compressor and he blasts everything with kerosene or with carburetor cleaner.
Oh, man.
So aren't there by now alternative chemicals that aren't so toxic, or isn't there a better way that he can do it? And plus, he doesn't wear a mask. He doesn't wear anything to protect himself.
Well, he's got no one to hide from.
He's not robbing a bank, is he?
Well, you know...
How old is this guy?
50. Not that old. Somewhere like 55, 50.
Yeah, I can see him.
And what does he do for a living otherwise?
He works for the city.
So he's home a lot.
Yeah. No, actually, he works a lot. But he's home a lot on weekends.
Well, I mean, my first thought was not are there other chemicals he can use, but my thought was are there laws against this? And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you dropped a dime on him that he'd be locked up in no time.
Well, I also do work as a mediator, and I know that's really not a good way to go about it.
I don't think that's a good way to
approach
it.
I think you should go and talk to him.
I like him, and I have.
And
I read him the label, and I said, Bill, it says right here on the label, do not have prolonged exposure to your skin. And so you shouldn't be wearing those same pants that were saturated with it yesterday today.
So he's a nice guy, and he's reasonable.
Oh, and I like him, yeah. He's a good neighbor.
I think what you should do is there are, for example, lots of solvents that don't use petroleum-based things like toluene and perchloroethylene.
VOCs, as we call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the petrochemicals.
So I think you should...
Buy them for him.
Exactly. Buy him a little Christmas present.
Okay.
For example, we use a brake cleaner now it's water-based.
Okay.
And it doesn't work as well as the CRC stuff.
Uh-huh.
Which has been, a mainstay for 105 years in the automotive industry.
Right.
But that's why most of us who fix cars are down to one or two syllables. so if you can get him away from this stuff and get him an alternative, that would be great.
Okay.
And next time there's a government surplus sale, go see if you can buy like a 4-foot diameter fan. It's one of those big babies, and just mount it next to your house.
But then it goes over to Connie's house next door, and that wouldn't be good either.
No, well, no. She could get one. Get two, and then you can just keep it right there in the middle.
Good luck, Tonya.
Good luck, Tonya.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Craig from Carlsbad, California.
Craig.
How are you?
Hey,
not
Craig.
Not bad.
I've got a burning question that's been driving me crazy for years. It's not unlikely for most Californians to own more than one vehicle.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that you have sometimes is you forget what side the gas filler pipe's on when you drive into the gas station. My question is, who determines what side the gas filler pipe winds up on?
It's done with a lottery system.
Okay.
Well, there are two schools of thought here, at least, that immediately come to mind.
Okay.
One is, if it's on the left, i.e. the driver's side, then when you pull into a gasoline station, you're doing the natural thing, which is you pull onto the right side of the gas pump, and the guy coming in the other direction pulls on his right side of the gas pump, and you guys are both on the correct side since we drive on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
The other school of thought is, and this is evidently why the Germans, and I know for a fact that the Germans have made a conscious decision to put it on the passenger side.
Right.
Because when you break down, by the side of the road or run out of gas on by the side of the
road. Which Germans must do a lot, I guess.
I guess they do this a lot. Then when you're filling up the tank with that little can, putting in that gallon, you won't be standing where the semis are going by.
Uh-huh.
You slide down the 20,000-foot abyss below.
Yeah, right.
I mean, personally, where I come out on this one is on the side of it being on the driver's side because, I mean, how many times are you going to run out of gas and have to fill up from the highway with the semis? Oh. And the other thing is evolutionary biology will tell you that it'll only happen once.
Right.
And we'll be getting rid of the people. It's natural selection at its finest.
It is indeed.
It makes sense to me. I don't know why, but
I think it should be on the driver's side.
Well, I think they all should be on one side or the other, but it's not possible because cars, even though they look it, are not symmetrical.
Right.
Because of the need to put an exhaust system and whatnot underneath the car, which is only on one side. So it does limit manufacturers as to where they can put the fill.
Well, my neighbor, he's got two Toyotas, a truck and a car.
Yeah.
And his truck, the filler's on the right side along with his exhaust pipe. His wife's car, her filler's on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Well,
to
none
it.
Of this was an issue until they came up with the vapor recovery. Don't you remember the old days you'd go to the gas station? If you screwed up,
right.
The guy would stretch that hose to the other side of the car.
Ah.
But none of those hoses are long enough now to stretch to the other side of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see a solution here except a new government agency. Yeah. But we're going to be working on this, Craig. Rest assured.
I'll be sleeping well tonight.
See you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
I thought Carlsbad was in New Mexico.
There's one there, too. I should add that some manufacturers are nice enough to put a little arrow on the gas gauge.
Yes, that tells you where the heck the stupid thing is.
Yeah, Fords do it. I don't know who else does it. I see it on Fords all the time, and it's great because we test drive all these cars, and whenever I get one from Berman, it needs to be filled up because it's on fumes.
You pull into the gas station, and you don't have enough gas to change to the other side.
Oh, if you have to change directions, you're done for.
Right?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Dara, and I'm in New York City.
Dara?
Mm-hmm.
From Manhattan?
From Manhattan, mm-hmm.
Hi, Dara.
Hi.
And you have a car?
Well, that's the problem, is that I have a car. I just moved to New York, and I have this beautiful, fabulous car up in Massachusetts, in North Adams, where I was living.
Uh-huh.
And nobody wants to buy my car. I can't sell my car.
What is it?
It's a 91 Crown Vic. Bright red. It was a fire chief's car.
Uh-huh.
And it's in excellent condition. And, you know, I love the car.
Where have you advertised?
Well, I advertised in the Berkshire Eagle, in the Penny Saver. I put posters up around the college campuses.
Did you put an ad on the web?
I did not put an ad on the web.
That's where all cars are sold now, I think.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I think. I mean, for one thing, you'll get a much wider area. I mean, it's the situation, I think, is there just aren't enough people out there in the Berkshires where you
well, where not your only car that, lives. But some cars cannot be sold. And it may be...
My brother's been trying to sell a car for 2 years now.
Well, it may be that you can't sell this car no matter what the price is. And I'll give you the little story of my older son, Louis, went out and bought a Firebird. And
was it from a woman named Donna?
No. He changed his name to Donna. And he bought this thing, and he realized after a while that it was a stupid vehicle because you couldn't drive it most of the time. But the thing was beautiful. It was an older car, but it was in beautiful condition. I mean, the car had never been driven in the winter, and it had all kinds of
couldn't drive it in the winter.
You couldn't, right, obviously. But it had been covered up whenever it was parked. I mean, no bird droppings had ever landed on this car. It was pristine. So he puts it in the paper for, I don't know, $6,000, which was a wonderful price, and nobody bites. Nobody even calls. Mm-hmm. He drops it to $5,000. No one calls. He drops it to $4,000. No one calls. He wants to give the car away. Nobody wanted it. So there are some cars which can't be sold because there aren't any buyers out there.
There's always somebody out there. There's always somebody out there.
My brother's right. You do have to widen your area.
Do you think that there's something, it has a spotlight? I mean, it's kind of got a certain personality, you know? It's just like, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be appealing.
I'm telling you.
Did you put the fact that it had the spotlight in the ad?
I did not put
Man, this is what you, that's what's going to appeal. Nobody wants a Crown Vic. You're absolutely right about that.
Why not?
But to have the former fire chief's Crown Vic with the spotlight, man, you put that on the web and something will be gone in a week.
Right. Some nut in New Hampshire will buy it.
you gotta have enough. Yeah, that's it. You gotta widen your area so that it includes New Hampshire, and you can be guaranteed that there will be some wacko that'll call you up.
Yeah, some wannabe law enforcement type.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you put in, you advertise this in New Hampshire, it'll be gone in a day.
You know what you could do? Include the hat. Maybe if you could go to a yard sale or something and buy the hat and the
Dalmatian.
And the fireman's outfit and a Dalmatian, you'll sell this thing in no time. Marketing is everything, you know?
In fact, you know what? Advertise just the spotlight 1800
spotlight for sale. Comes with Crown Vic. Attached to Crown Vic. Crown Vic free. Spotlight $1,800.
Good luck, Dara.
See you later.
All right.
Yeah.
You.
All right. She sounded happy.
it'll cost you $20 to put the ad on the web. It'll be the best $20 you ever spent.
Oh, at least you get a lot of funny emails. See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'll do that.
Bye.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy, Frogman, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher. Thank you, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Siam Sushi Salami, Sea Bass, and Sake Septathlon, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our accounts payable clerk from the Ukrainian division is Amelda Chekhov. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our drug trial specialist is Placebo Domingo. My puzzler assistant is Norma Lee Bogus. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our curator of Dionne Warwick studies is Isaiah Little Prayer. Our Latin American bullfighting specialist is Gordon D. No. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known at the once funky shops turned cell phone outlets in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Gordon
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1644, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our Ajala-inducing clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, it's Dog Week. We pick the best hound-friendly rides, and our staff veterinarians dream up some car features they drool over, like nose print-resistant glass. Plus, Officer Tim Cotton reminisces about being bitten in the butt by his canine partner. Car Talk goes to the dogs. Join us all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Robert Siegel wonders if it's too late to become an extreme snowboarder whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.